no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again. Our hour of radio drama begins with the Radio City Playhouse this week. We'll hear their episode from September 25th, 1948, The Dark Hour. After that, it's The Zero Hour with Clay Pigeons. That story aired June 14th, 1974.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 13. Our play tonight is titled The Dark Hour. It is an original radio drama by Charles Bennett, and one which we like very much indeed. We sincerely hope that after 30 minutes have elapsed, you will share our opinion. The production is directed by Harry W. Junkin and stars John Larkin as Paul. Here is Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 13, The Dark Hour. This is a story about Paul, Paul Gallagher. It is a story about Paul when something happens to him. It is the story of the fears and thoughts within him when it happens. And it is the story of the voice that speaks these thoughts. It is not, we think, an ordinary story. Paul won't tell very many people about this. I say won't, because it hasn't happened yet. It is just now beginning to happen.
Wake up, Paul.
Paul is lying on the ground asleep. He is on a summer vacation. This afternoon, he went for a walk by himself along a dirt road that winds through the woods, about a mile from his family's summer cottage. It's a lonely road, never much traffic on it, but Paul knows it well. He's been on it dozens of times every summer of his life, except while he was away in the army.
Wake up, Paul. Open your eyes.
He is stretched out flat on his back, lying still, except for his breathing, which is slow and regular and gentle. Where is he? Well, after walking a while, he stepped off the road through an opening in the brush and into a familiar clearing in the woods. It was warm and peaceful, and he lay down on his back and gazed through the rippling treetops at the patch of blue sky above him. And without meaning to, Paul Gallagher fell asleep. That's where he is now.
Do you hear me, Paul? You are waking up. That's right, Paul. Move. Stretch. Open your eyes. Listen, Paul. Listen deep within you. I am you, Paul. You've heard me before, haven't you?
No.
I am you. You'd better wake up, Paul. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Then open your eyes, Paul. Open your eyes. What's the matter?
Where am I?
Dark.
Dark.
Pitch dark.
Pitch dark.
Call out for help.
Where?
What's the matter, Paul? Frightened?
Oh, only for a moment, I...
Remember now, Paul. Remember where you are.
Yes, I'm lying on a little patch of grass and moss in the woods.
Right where you lay down this afternoon, Paul?
I remember.
What time did you go to sleep, Paul?
Oh, about 3 o'clock, I guess.
And now it's... Pitch dark. black, dark, isn't it? Better make very sure where you are. Put your hands out and feel the ground around you.
Yes, it's moss and grass, all right.
Well, at least you know where you are.
Oh, of all the screwball things to do, sleeping all this time.
What time is it, Paul?
I can't see my watch.
Light a match.
I guess I haven't any matches.
In summer, the twilight lasts until around 9 o'clock. It's so dark now you can't see a thing, can you?
Boy, this is one for the books.
You must have been very tired, Paul.
Yes, I must have been very tired.
Tired enough to fall asleep accidentally and sleep for 7 hours, maybe more?
Didn't know I was that tired.
When they discharged you from that army hospital, what did they tell you?
Oh, that was a long time ago, 2 years.
What did they tell you, Paul?
Nothing.
What did they tell you?
Well, they said, take it easy, be careful.
Why did they say that? Why, Paul? Why, Paul?
I had a rough trip getting up here from my vacation, that long, hot train ride, sitting up all night for 2 nights. It's very tiring.
Or maybe it's a change of climate. This fresh northern air just knocked you out.
Yes, that must be it. Funny, isn't it?
Paul, get up. You can't just lie there. Sit up.
Yeah, I am.
That's right. Brush the grass and twigs from your sweater. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Why are you rubbing the side of your face, Paul?
Skin is all dented. I'll slip my face pressing right into the grass, I guess, and that...
What's the matter, Paul? Why are you rubbing your temple with your finger? What's the matter, Paul?
My scar. It's stinging like a needle. A twig must have been digging into it while I was asleep.
You'd better be getting home.
Yes.
Stand up.
Yeah, I'm standing.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know which way to go. So dark. I've never known it to be so dark before. Why, I can't even tell where the trees end and the sky begins up there.
Probably it clouded over while you were asleep, Paul.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not afraid of the dark. Think, Paul. Think how often you walked home along that road in the dark when you were a kid. You can do it again.
Of course I can do it again.
The first thing is to get out of the clearing onto the road. Figure it out.
Now, let's see. I came in, went over to the old tree, and then, well, the opening must be in this direction.
Which way, Paul?
This way.
Go on, Paul. Stretch out your arms in front of you. Step forward. Step, step, step. What's the matter?
I should have reached the edge of the clearing by now, one way or another.
Do you feel anything yet?
No.
Maybe you hit the exit from the clearing right on the button the first time.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Step forward, then.
Oh.
What happened?
I don't know. Something slapped me in the face.
Put out your hand and see what it was.
No.
Go on.
What? Oh. It's only a leaf. A little branch hanging down over my head.
You missed the opening.
Well, how am I going to get out of here?
Suppose a car went by on the road outside the clearing.
Why, then...
Then you would know where the exit is.
Yes.
But how often do cars go by on that road?
It might be hours before one went by. I don't want to wait. I want to get out of here.
Take it easy, Paul.
All right.
Think, Paul. Think.
I know.
What, Paul?
A branch.
Good, Paul. That's right. Grab it. There. Now pull it down. Go on. Twist it. Twist. There. The branch broke off right into your hands, didn't it? Now what, Paul?
The twigs.
That's right, Paul. Strip off the twigs and the leaves. All of them.
There. Now.
What have you got now, Paul?
A stick. Now I can feel where I'm going.
Good. Which way are you going to try?
Left, I think. Yes, left.
Is that the opening?
Wait, I'm walking on leaves.
What does that mean?
Well, I must be going into the woods instead of out by the opening.
Then do something.
I...
Back up. Back out of there. Now go on, Paul. To the left. Keep at it, Paul.
I might go deeper into the woods.
Keep at it, Paul.
Wait.
What, Paul?
Wait, I think I...
Why are you stopping, Paul?
I've made it. I'm out. I'm through the opening and out by the road.
How do you know?
I know it. I can feel it. I can feel more space around me.
Better be sure. Use the stick. Step forward, Paul. Slowly. 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 Watch out for the ditch, Paul. Well, Paul, you had to step over that roadside ditch when you entered the clearing before falling asleep, didn't you? Remember now? You saw the water in it and the mud and the wet leaves then, didn't you? Get up. Get to your feet. Go on, Paul. There. You should be standing by the side of the road now. Stop trembling.
That ditch. A lousy, rotten, foul, misbegotten, accursed ditch.
Paul?
I forgot the ditch. Lousy, rotten ditch.
Calm down, Paul. Shake the mud off your clothes. Where is your sense of proportion?
This sure as blazes isn't my night, is it?
You'd better get going.
Yes.
What are you waiting for, Paul?
You know, when I was a kid and walked home on this road at night, even on the darkest nights, the sky was just faintly lighter than the woods. It made a sort of canyon of the road that you could follow easy. You couldn't see the road, but some kind of visual sense let you know what it was.
But not tonight, Paul.
Tonight? Tonight I can't see a blessed thing. The darkest night I've ever seen. It's black. I don't know.
Are you nervous?
Yes. Yes, I am.
In what way?
I don't quite know. I can't quite figure it out. In my stomach. Sick.
You feel something strange? Something wrong?
Yes.
Have you ever felt it before, Paul?
No.
Never?
No.
How about the war, Paul?
No.
Remember the war, Paul?
No, no.
Yes, yes, Paul. You have felt like this before.
No, never.
Oh, yes, Paul. Think. Think about it. Remember it.
No. Stop. Leave me alone.
The war, Paul. The war. The war. The war.
Hey, Mac.
Yeah?
Mac, listen.
Yeah, Paul, I'm listening.
Oh, never mind. It's nothing.
Say, what's eating you? You look like you're ready for your shroud.
Oh, it's nothing.
Fucking your frame in this lousy trench giving you the willies, huh?
Well, I...
Say, what is the matter with you?
Well, it's... Look, Mac, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah?
Here's my wallet and some other stuff.
What?
Now, keep them for me, will you? And then if you have to, you'll know what to do with them.
Oh, no, wait a sec, Paul. Sure, I'll keep them if you want, but you're just putting the whammy on yourself.
No, I just got a feeling, that's all. Today is it, the ticket, the one with the label on it, and all that junk. I wish I could be funny about it, but I just feel so rotten, lousy, bad.
You want to talk to the chaplain, maybe?
No, I've talked to him. Thanks. Look at me, Mac. Look right at me.
Yeah?
I'm scared. But I'm not just scared. I know it's going to happen. I can feel it all through me. You understand me, Mac? I know it. Know it.
Steady, Paul. You're still standing by the side of the road. Is that the way you feel again?
Leave me alone. I don't remember.
All right, Paul. All right.
I've got to relax.
You'd better get going, Paul.
Yes, but how am I going to stay on the road if I can't see it?
Figure it out. What kind of a road is it?
Why, it's an ordinary dirt road.
And?
Yes. Yes, I see. Car wheels throw most of the dirt and gravel to the side. That leaves hard, bare tracks in the center.
And?
And all I have to do is feel for a hard, bare part with my feet, and it'll be like a track to follow. If I feel myself walking in loose gravel, I'll know I'm getting on the shoulder off the road.
Good for you, Paul.
Yeah, now I'm getting smart. There. There's a bare track.
Turn to your right, Paul. Start walking. Walk, Paul.
I'm walking.
Soon you won't have to concentrate so hard on feeling the road through your feet. Soon your feet will keep to the road almost automatically. Soon you won't... What is it, Paul?
My wound. A scar. It's stinging again.
Your scar?
Oh, what's the matter with it anyway?
It hasn't bothered you for a long time, has it?
No. Now it's stinging. It goes right through my head.
Is that why you're holding your head in your hands? Steady, Paul. What are you thinking of, Paul? The war again?
Oh, I'm dizzy.
Why are you thinking of the war again, Paul? And you help it?
Oh, I'm dizzy.
Steady, Paul. Steady, Paul. Steady, Paul.
What time is it, Paul?
3:16.
The 219's supposed to attack that hill over there soon. That should divert some of this fire from us, huh?
Yeah, Mac.
What time did you say it was, Paul?
3:16.
What time is it now?
Look, how many rotten times do I have to tell you? Oh!
You all right, Paul? Hey, are you? Paul! Hey, Gorick, come here! Paul's dead! Paul's dead, man!
I'm walking.
Are you all right now?
Yes, I'm all right.
What's the matter with your head, Paul?
I don't know, my wound...
What was it?
Shrapnel.
What do you remember about it?
Remember?
Yes. Don't you remember anything about your wound?
No, it's all fixed up now.
Don't you remember the hospital?
The hospital? Yes.
What did they do in the hospital?
Do?
What did they do?
They fixed it up. They fixed up the wound.
Don't you remember?
What?
Where is your wound, Paul?
It's in my head.
Where in your head?
My temple.
Where?
My temple.
Say it again.
My temple.
Is that a bad place to be wounded, Paul? Is that a bad place, Paul? What did they do in the hospital, Paul? Do you remember now, Paul? The hospital? The hospital?
Paul Gallagher, aren't you?
That's right. Every time I turn over comes a new nurse. Are you new on this shift?
No, I'm not on the ward.
Oh, well, hello anyway.
We're ready for you now, Paul.
You ready for me?
Yes.
For what? What gives?
Why, for your operation, of course.
Operation?
Why, yes. Didn't anyone tell you?
No, they didn't. So that's what all that fussing with me was about last night and this morning. Oh, great, isn't that just like the Army? Not say a rotten thing. Why do they have to operate?
I don't know.
Well, it's practically healed. I thought it was perfectly all right. What's the matter with it?
Come on, Paul. They're waiting for you. Here, put on your slippers.
Look, isn't it healing properly? What's wrong with it, nurse?
Come on, Paul. We can't keep them waiting.
Well, can't you tell me? What's the matter?
All right, Paul. I'm going to put this over your face. There. Now, breathe deeply. That's fine. Take deep breaths.
What's this one, Doctor?
Small piece of shrapnel in the temple. Seemed all right at first. We let it heal without taking it out. Ready, nurse?
Just a minute, Doctor.
So, what's the matter now?
Danger of pressure on the optic nerve. It's going to be a tricky business.
Mm-hmm. Any chance of loss of vision?
Chance, yes. I don't think so, but he could be all right tomorrow and then sometime later. Just can't tell now. Yes, blindness is unlikely, but perfectly possible.
Any chance, loss of vision?
Perfectly possible. Perfectly possible. Perfectly possible.
I must have slept back there with my scar pressing on a twig or a small stone or something. Pressed on a nerve, probably. That's what makes it sting so.
That's probably it. Dark, isn't it? Look up, Paul. Look up to the sky. Do you see anything, Paul?
I ought to be able to see something, shouldn't I?
It's uncanny, isn't it?
No, it's clouded over, that's all. It's clouded over.
You're all alone in the dark, and it feels hollow and tight in the pit of your stomach.
Well, that's natural. That's perfectly natural.
Paul.
It's so dark.
It couldn't be any worse, could it, if you were blind? How do you know you're not blind, Paul? How do you know it's a very dark night? How do you know it isn't about 4 o'clock in the afternoon? How do you know you didn't fall asleep with two good eyes and wake up blind? What did the doctor say? Why is there a pain in your temple?
Oh, I'm crazy. I'm absolutely crazy.
On the other hand, Paul, why should you be blind?
The doctors...
They said it was possible, didn't they? Did they say it was probable?
No.
Why shouldn't it be a dark night?
It could be.
Why shouldn't you sleep several hours?
I was very tired.
It's not very likely that you're blind, is it?
No, it's not very likely.
Figure it out, then. What haven't you done all this time?
What haven't I done?
Your ears.
My ears?
Yes. Listen. What's that?
It's just the breeze in the trees up there.
And that?
Crickets and insects.
What about birds?
Birds?
If you heard birds singing, it wouldn't be nighttime, would it? What was that?
What?
Didn't you hear it? Sounded like a robin, didn't it?
I don't know, maybe.
There.
Was that a crow?
Birds don't sing in the heat of the day. It might still be too hot at 4 in the afternoon. So even if you don't hear birds, it might be daytime. Do you feel the warm sun?
I don't know. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. No. No, it's not warm.
Listen. Was that a squirrel?
Where?
Now. There's a robin.
I think so. No, I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
The squirrel chattering, don't you hear it?
I don't know.
You're listening too hard.
I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
You don't know what you hear.
Oh, dear God, please.
Paul.
What?
Pull yourself together.
All right.
They're letting it get you down. Brace up. Paul, whether you're blind or not...
I'm not blind.
You've got to get home.
I'm not blind.
No. But suppose... suppose you were, Paul.
I'm not. It's just my imagination.
Then stop thinking about it.
Stop thinking about it.
And start walking.
I'm walking.
You're not blind. Force yourself to stop thinking about it.
Don't think about it.
Your mind is whirling. Stop thinking about it.
Stop thinking.
Stop thinking about it.
Dear God, don't let me be blind. Please, please don't let me be
stop.
Blind.
Listen.
What is it?
Listen. Do you hear it?
Yes. Yes, yes, I hear it.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, it's a car.
Where is it?
It's way, way off in the woods ahead of me.
Is it coming this way or going away?
It's coming this way.
Now you'll know.
Yes, now I'll know.
Get off the road.
Yes.
It's coming closer, isn't it?
Yes.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
It's coming closer now, isn't it?
Yes, closer.
What do you expect to see?
Headlights.
Do you see a glare in the sky yet?
No. No glare.
Why not, Paul? Why not?
I don't know.
Why no glare, Paul?
I don't know. Curves. Curves in the road ahead.
When will you see the lights, Paul?
Soon.
Wait?
Yes, wait.
How soon, Paul?
Very soon.
How soon? How soon? How soon?
What is the fool doing driving on a pitch dark night like this without lights? The fool! The idiot! Driving without lights! Idiot! No lights! No lights! No lights! It's still broad daylight, isn't it? All this time, it's been daylight. Please, help me. Please. I'm blind.
And that is the story of Paul Gallagher. I've just heard Charles Bennett's The Dark Hour, Attraction 13 on Radio City Playhouse. John Larkin was heard as Paul, Alan Stevenson as the voice within him. Other players included Eugene Francis, Hedley Rennie, and Helen Choate. With this performance, Radio City Playhouse rings down its curtain for the time being, but we hope to be back on the air again in the near future over most of these NBC stations. So please watch for the announcement of our return. Meanwhile, the staff of Radio City Playhouse, our producer-director, Harry W. Junkin, our composer-conductor, Dr. Roy Shield, sound technician, Jerry McGee, our skillful and resourceful engineer, Monroe J. Lawrence, and our supervisor, Richard P. McDonough, all join in saying thanks to you for your many wonderful letters, telegrams, and phone calls expressing your appreciation of our efforts. You've been very nice to work for. Saturday night, Hollywood Star Theater returns to the air. The opening show will star a talented and lovely young Hollywood actress, Marissa O'Brien. She will be introduced to you by her niece, a young lady known and loved by millions of theatergoers, Miss Margaret O'Brien. Hollywood Star Theater will be heard over most of these NBC stations next Saturday night. This is Lionel Rico speaking, and this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Kim Weisskopf's study of cinema murder comes to life. Clay Pigeons. Starring Lee Merriweather. In the Mutual Broadcasting System presentation, The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company, also by Sinoff, Tablets and Spray, Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, and International Harvester.
This is Hugh Downs with a Ford Car Buyers Report. Car buyers today are giving serious thought to the real cost of car ownership. Not only purchase price, but operating economy and trade-in value. What about operating economy? Well, consider gas mileage. Lots of Ford LTD owners have discovered that adjusting how they drive results in surprisingly good gas mileage. And consider maintenance. The estimated average cost for 50,000 miles of normal driving in the 74 LTD versus the 73 LTD can be as much as $182 less in scheduled maintenance. Compared to its nearest sales competitor, LTD maintenance schedule specifies fewer spark plug changes, fuel filter changes, and chassis lubes for more savings. The 1974 LTD is the best-selling car in its price class, evidence that for many, it's the best solution to owning a full-size car.
The well-made Ford. The closer you look, the better we look.
Today, a story set in the make-believe world of movies. That gray area where reality wavers between fact and fiction. Actors are a strange lot. We tend to view them in two ways, as the characters they portray on celluloid and as real people. But in both cases, they seem larger than life. We're about to meet Lily Clay, a woman whose job it is to funnel our interest into the personal phase of actors' lives. Lily Clay is a gossip columnist. She calls her column, and we call our story, Clay Pigeons.
When dear friend Norman Sharnoff invited me on location for his new picture, little did I dream how much action I would see both on and off camera. Norman's directing Bees in a Bonnet here in the Mojave Desert, and his co-stars, luscious Paul Helms and sultry Robin Albright, have been doing their best to render the title an understatement. Well, today, for the first day in five, shooting ran according to schedule. But the moment the cast and crew broke for supper, the buzzing began in Ernest.
Norman, you've got to send her home. Lily Clay's poison on a picture. She thrives on our agony.
Look, Herb, we need the publicity.
We don't need the kind she'll give us. The way Paul and Robin are carrying on, she'll kill us. We'll never get the picture finished.
Yeah, we'll only be here five more days. I can handle Lily Clay. Come on. Let's get a drink before our star taps us out.
Get me another bottle, will you, Mitch?
You're not through with that one yet. Come on, Paul, lay off that stuff. You're juice.
I want to go unconscious. It's the only way I can stand making these rotten pictures.
Let's go over your lines for tomorrow.
What are you, my fairy godmother? Mitch, all you've got to do is fall down when I'm supposed to and take a punch now and then. You're not being paid to give advice.
You're the star.
You bet I am. Now go get me another bottle.
I'm telling you, the studio's not going to be happy with Paul's performance. He's got to dry out.
Now, look, Herb, you're the link in the pipeline, huh? And tell them what they want to hear. They'll scream about the budget anyway. It might cause them further upset over something so trivial as a personality clash on the set. Can I help it if their stars hate each other's guts?
Don't look now, but Miss Happiness just walked in, and she's breathing fire.
Norman, I have to talk to you. Alone.
Oh, yes, I was just leaving. See you when the sun comes up.
Yes, Robin, dear, what is it?
You know perfectly well what it is. Paul Helms. So how do you expect me to play the lover of a man I despise?
You're an actress. Think of it as a challenge, honey.
I signed for this picture because you were directing. I wanted to work with you.
And you are doing just marvelously. I know how Paul can be.
I'm a professional, and I demand to be treated as one.
But just ignore him, honey.
You try ignoring somebody who's constantly pawing at you, making snide remarks. It's affecting my performance.
Now, Robin, you are perfect for the part. I've said that all along.
Norman, I don't know how I can go on.
Oh, well, your show is both in the morning, honey. Now, you try to get some sleep. I'll talk to Paul.
And please keep Millie Clay away from me.
Yes, I will. You know, Robin, after we finish the picture and the critics tell us what geniuses we are, you'll laugh at how serious this all seems right now. Bees in a Bonnet is going to be a super movie, in spite of Paul Helms and Millie Clay and everything else.
Oh, Norman, do you really think so?
No, I don't think so. I know it will.
Well, it was another eventful day in the making of what will probably be one of the most uneventful movies of the year. For Norman Shonoff's sake, the dear man, I hope the filming is concluded briskly and without further incident. More clay pigeons tomorrow. M.C.
All right, Todd. That's it for today. On the close day. Bits, get ready for the front. We still have the light.
Thank you, Robin. You were sensational.
Oh, thank you, love. It was easy playing that scene without the added burden of my leading man.
Robin, darling.
Oh, hello, Millie.
Norman, you don't mind if I pick your star's brains, do you?
Well, you better ask her. They're her brains. Is Mitch up on the second floor yet?
Tell me, darling. A dear friend of mine tells me that your ex is about to remarry. Would you care to comment? Something I can quote, of course.
Hold on, boom. We need this area clear.
Norman, I can't find Paul. We got revised pages for him.
Yeah, try the trailer, the one with the booth.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's move it. Last shot of the day.
Now, please, Millie, can't it wait?
Darling, I'm offering you equal time.
Well, I'd rather not comment for publication. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to change.
Oh, just one question.
Oh, all right.
A little bird told me that someone on the set has been carrying a torch for you for a long time. I take it that it's not Paul Helms.
You'd better change the newspaper in your bird cage, sweetheart.
All right, Lenny, now get it in one take if you can. It's a straight drop. He'll be coming through the open window, hit the awning, which will collapse. Then he jumps to his feet. He takes a few steps towards the door, and that's all we need.
Norman, your starlet is not very cooperative today.
Please, Millie, not now.
All right, quiet, everybody. These are not on that window fall exterior, sir. Take one. Rolling. Action! Come! Don't close that window. Please, lady.
Looks like your stuntman's shaken up.
What's the matter with you, Mitch? You missed the awning.
Norman, he's hurt.
Oh, no. Mitch, you all right? Mitch. What the devil's going on? Paul? Paul?
Paul?
This is Paul Helms. He's dead.
Oh, my goodness, he's dead.
Now, I work dig and ditch, and I'll never get rich, but I've learned me a lesson or two. You judge a good man by the dirt on his hands and beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Since I was a kid, each thing that I did helped teach me what I'm telling you. When you fight, it's to win. When you're right, don't give in. And beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Great thing about being raised around here is they raise you on beech nut chewing tobacco. Like they say, beech nuts the tobacco to chew, cause it just keeps on getting better, moister, more satisfying. Beech nut's all you ever need to learn about chewing tobacco. Now, Poppy might yell, but he taught us kids well, and most things he said I still do. I live by my word, don't repeat what I've heard, and beech nut the tobacco I chew. Thank you.
Mr. Sharnoff. Helms was dead before the fall.
Are you sure, Sergeant Phil?
Positive. Death was caused by a blow to the left temporal bone. He hit the ground in his right side and broke his shoulder.
So somebody threw Paul out the window?
That's right. What's the stunt man's name?
Varga. Mitchell Varga. You haven't seen him?
No.
You think he did it?
Can't say. You said Helms wouldn't win any popularity contests.
You have to wait in line to hate him. The public loved him, though.
Well, somebody hated him. Bad. Somebody here. The area is sealed off. We've already questioned the crew. Anybody else see it happen?
Yeah. Gossip columnist, Millie Clay.
Oh, is she here?
That's her typing.
No fooling. Hey, my wife reads her column all the time.
You want to talk to her?
Sure do.
I've never hated a man more, Robin said to me, not 5 minutes before Paul Helms plunged to his death. Director Norman Sharnoff was visibly shaken. Oh, yes.
Lily, the police are here.
They want to talk to me?
Miss Clay, I'm Sergeant Rich Taylor. I'm heading up the investigation here. Oh. Maybe you could throw some light on the situation.
I'll be glad to do anything I can, Sergeant Taylor.
My wife, Yvonne, reads your column all the time.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, now, Millie, you're not going to print this, are you?
Why not?
Well, you can't. That's why not.
Norman, I'm surprised at you.
Well, I'm afraid you can't print this, Miss Clay. Not until we're through with the investigation, anyway. It could get you in trouble.
Well, I'll be in bigger trouble with my editor if I don't phone this in.
Hey, I'm sorry, but I can't let you do that. We've got to keep the lid on this thing for now.
Well, we'll see.
Millie?
Miss Clay, you saw the man fall?
Yes, I did.
Did you happen to notice anyone in the window before or after Mr. Helms came through it?
No, sir, I didn't.
Have you seen Mitchell Varga since that time?
No, again.
Do you have any idea who might have killed Mr. Helms?
I have lots of ideas, but I'm saving them until you're through with your investigation.
Now, Millie, please. Well, thanks for your trouble, Miss Clay.
No trouble, Sergeant Taylor. Norman.
What?
Wasn't there a camera going when it happened? I mean, wouldn't the whole thing be on film?
Yeah, you're right. We did shoot the scene.
Oh, well, could we see it?
Yeah, come on. I'll see if the dailies were processed.
Director Norman Sharnoff was visibly shaken and came to this reporter for comfort and advice. Mother said there'd be days like this. Tomorrow I'll have an exclusive interview with the elusive Robin Albright, and wouldn't it be just like a Hollywood movie if her secret admirer and the mystery man in the window were one and the same? More clay pigeons to come. M.C.
Norman, can I see you a minute?
Oh, sure, Herb. I got all day. We saw the rushes last night. They didn't show a thing.
We got trouble. There's a leak.
What are you talking about?
Your friend with the typewriter got through to the papers. I just got word in the studio. They're going crazy back there with phone calls. They want to know if it's true that Robin had something to do with Helms' death.
Oh, brother. Does Taylor know about this?
I don't know.
Well, I better go find Millie before Taylor does.
You better find her before Robin does.
I mean to sue you and your editor for every penny you could ever hope to make. Robin, darling, you're talking gibberish. Your career will skyrocket from the publicity. Oh, you're so full of beans. Now get out of my sight. I've put down fresh newspaper in my birdcage, Robin, dear. The little sparrow's hungry. Would you like to feed her the name of your tittle dove? Get out here.
Millie, what have you done?
Norman, I'm quitting.
Oh, look, you're just tense.
Get her away from me before I kill her. You don't have to threaten me, dear. Well, it's Sergeant Taylor.
I suppose you read the newspapers.
Yep. We're going to have a little talk, Miss Clay.
You can't stop me from printing the truth.
I don't know about that, but I have some bad news for everyone. We found Mitchell Varga. He's dead.
There's something going on at your local International dealer. Right now, would you buy the other pickup from International? You get all...
Hold it. What's this, the other pickup from International? What's that?
Well, there are two pickups out there that outsell everybody else. You know who they are.
Go ahead.
Well, we're the other pickup. The one with the wider track, lower center of gravity. The one with great handling and stability. The other pickup from International.
Okay.
All right. Right now, should I?
Go ahead.
Until July 20th, you get four Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires when you buy a new International pickup at participating dealers.
The other pickup.
Right.
Go ahead.
You get these gas-saving radials at no extra cost on most models, and they're worth $290 suggested retail price.
No extra cost?
Right. Go ahead. I know. And you get a free tire gauge just for coming in, and correctly inflated tires help you get better mileage. So stop at your local International...
Okay, hold it.
No.
Are you telling me that all I have to do is stop at my local International dealer, and he'll give me a tire gauge free, there's nothing to buy?
That's right.
I'll buy that.
Go ahead.
under emotional strain, Miss Albright, but could you please answer the question?
Oh, it's so terrible. It's like a nightmare.
You knew Mitchell Varga?
Yes. We were almost married once. I married someone else. And it's my fault that he's dead.
Oh, there, there, Miss Albright. It'll all be over soon. Have you been seeing Mr. Varga lately?
No. I didn't know he would be here. I didn't even know he doubled for Paul Helms. They were so different. Mitch was so sensitive.
You didn't like Mr. Helms?
How could I? How could anybody? He was the most arrogant man I ever met.
You didn't kill him?
What?
That was a statement, not a question.
Of course I didn't kill him. I hated him, but I wouldn't kill him.
Miss Clay referred to a secret admirer in her latest column. That would be Mitchell Varga?
Don't tell me you believe that woman.
Well, personally, I can't stand her. My wife, on the other hand...
Are you saying that Mitch pushed Paul Helms out that window?
He couldn't have. Mitch was dead before it happened.
What? Can't you stop Millie Clay from writing those lies?
Oh, I couldn't, but I've let her do it up till now.
You knew she called in that story?
Mm-hmm.
But why?
Professional reasons. There's something you should understand, Miss Albright. The very first thing I did when I was assigned to this case was hire Millie Clay. She's working for me.
We're finished, Norman. You know that, don't you?
And then the studio junking the picture?
Yep, they'll write it off. We'll still get our money.
Uh-huh. If we ever get out of this desert. What do you make of this latest development?
You mean about Mitch?
Yeah.
Beats me. I thought he killed Helms. Now I don't know what to think. Taylor talked to the studio, told him he'd see to it that Millie was muzzled.
No, it's a little late for that, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you feel like a nightcap?
No, thanks. I'm drained. I think I'll turn in.
Okay, I'll see you in the morning, Herb.
Good night, Norman.
She's not there, Herb.
What? How did you...
Drop the pipe. Drop it.
Oh, I didn't mean to, but... Oh, Paul, I couldn't stand the way he treated Robin. Always calling her names and touching her. She hated him, and so did I. So I... Millie. What a terrible woman. She was on to me. I had to get rid of her. It was Mitch I didn't mean to kill. I just tapped him. Just a little tap. I didn't want him to die. I did it for her. For Robin. I loved her, only I never told her, but I had to prove it to her. I had to show her.
Well, you chose the wrong way, I'm afraid. Herbert Griffin?
Yes?
I'm placing you under arrest on 2 counts of first-degree murder.
Had lunch today at Salvino's with the stunning Robin Albright, just back from 2 weeks in sunny Acapulco. She told me, between bites of pasta, of her new 3-picture deal with Upaskins Productions. How the lady stays so trim, I'll never know. This reporter pushed her leafy salad around the plate throughout the entire meal. Dear Norman Shawnoff writes from Kyoto, where he's scouting locations for his upcoming thriller, The Velvet Scepter. Oh, I wish I were there too, Norman. A special CP to Yvonne and Rich Taylor of Mojave. You have a standing invitation to my humble canyon digs if and when you can stand my cooking. I promise not to serve any clay pigeons, you beautiful people. At least until tomorrow. M.C.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Clay Pigeons is an original radio drama by Kim Weisgott. Lee Merriweather was heard as Millie Clay. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Maggie Mullooly, Olin Soul, Byron Kane, and Joe DeSantis. Zero Hour, rated by J.M. Cooks, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley B. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections. You can find more from the Zero Hour Radio City Playhouse, past episodes of this show and all the others at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help keep them going. My thanks, as always, to those who have donated, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.